Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We are grateful unto you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the lamp upon the throne. Father, as we go into your word this morning, we thank you so much for this word. We are grateful because we are trusting you for grace to unravel the mysteries of a kingdom afresh today. Do not take anything for granted. Wherefore, Father, as I go into your word to share with your people, I strip myself of every confidence that I might yet have in my heart concerning my knowledge or ability to pray, or even past experience in sharing the word. I place my confidence in your mercies afresh, in the grace of the Lord, just the help of the Spirit, and ask for the same for my brethren I gather today. That Lord, you help me to speak as an oracle of God, to bring out of the treasure of your word things both new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. As the word goes forth, it will go forth in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Spirit, bringing an edification of the body in the name of Jesus Christ, helping us to go on to run the race that is set before us. Father, I also ask that the word goes forth, let it go forth, and cause our wills to become more humble, our minds further enlightened by the revelation of Christ's love, and our emotions be further controlled and tempered by the power of the Holy Spirit. As I also speak, Lord, help me to redeem time, not to say things that are unnecessary. Finally, I draw on that covering of spiritual fathers, that the same grace upon them will be upon him, upon me as I minister to you, that in their light we'll all see light, to bring praise and glory unto your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In our last lesson, we've been in the book of 1 Timothy. Last time we were in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. And we are, please put it on the board for a brief recap before we move on today. We were here the last time, and we were talking about persecution and affliction. You know, Paul, let's all read for a recap. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach. Because what? We trust in living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. And we spoke extensively about labor, the kinds of labor. I don't want to go back. We can listen to the message last time. And then I will suffer reproach. And as Pastor has taught us, we said that reproach has to do with persecution and affliction. And we took time to explain that in Christianity, you cannot escape persecution and affliction if you're a doer of the word. The Bible says persecution and affliction ariseth for the word's sake. Are you following me? But I want us to know again that it's a good indication that you are doing the will of God. But the Bible says that in the first Peter, like we mentioned that time, that it says that means the Spirit of glory rests upon you. So, and Paul said in Thessalonians that we are called unto these things. So don't let it disturb us when they happen. But however, we rounded up by talking about the way of escape that God has made for us concerning persecution and affliction. And we mentioned there when we were talking that the first thing that Pastor has taught over and over again is in recent times is self-denial. Let's say self-denial. Self-denial. Very important. What is self-denial? Just to recap. It says giving up of legitimate pleasures such as sleep and food to give extra time to pray so as to generate sufficient power to overcome that affliction or that persecution. It's very, very important. When we go to persecutions as they will come, God expects us to deny ourselves. In denying ourselves, we give up legitimate pleasures like sleep, like food, or watching TV, whatever it is, so we can give extra time to prayer. I'm going to give an example of Paul last time when he had an affliction that came against him. He said he besought the Lord three times, praying about the same thing. And the Lord told him, said, Paul, my grace what is sufficient for you. So when we deny ourselves, what is made available to us is mercy and grace. Like Pastor taught us, says that therefore come unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So that is what self-denial does. And I put this question here. I say, for how long do you practice self-denial? We have to first of all do it daily. Let's say daily. Lord Jesus Christ said we should deny ourselves daily. Say, take up your cross and follow me daily. And then when in a particular point, any kind of persecution that is happening at any point in time, you see, you have to continue in praying, in denying yourself until you obtain victory. And we gave the example of Paul the last time I was talking. When it was God gave him a commandment, I said, he appeared to him. I said, you are going to appear before me in Rome and testify before me. You know, I think that was the end of the story. But before you knew it, Satan raised up a storm. And if you check the Bible, it says that that affliction that came upon him did not last from about 3rd day to about 14 days, in which Paul said, after long abstinence, let's say after long abstinence, Acts chapter 27 verse 21, Paul had to withdraw because he knew that if he did not withdraw, the enemy was not playing games. He was going to kill them. And if you observe, it wasn't only him that had long abstinence, but there are two categories of people in that boat. Paul and those that were going on to the prisoners. But when I looked at it carefully, I saw that, you see, open to put in a message Bible because of time. You see, the others were not eating. It was the time, if you check the scriptures, it was the time of the fast, you know, this fast that Jews had. But you see, when you say self-denial now, it's not just abstaining from food or from things and then you just sit down and you worry. No, it's a time in which you pray. You generate time to not to sit down and worry. Let's see, what does it say? It says, with our appetite for both food and what? Life long gone. Then what happened? Paul took his place in our midst and said, friends, I don't want to take too much time then. You see, there was only one, at least as far as we know, Paul was basically the only person that was praying about the situation. The others were not eating because they were afraid. They were afraid of their lives. So what are we saying? We should copy the example of Paul and self-denial. Self-denial is not just abstaining from food or the pleasures of this life. It's to give yourself time to pray and use that time to generate sufficient power. So Paul generated that power, and we know what happened. God spoke to him, and he came out after long abstinence and said, God has spoken to me that all of you, all of us in this ship shall be saved. Praise the Lord. So let's move on. And we also spoke extensively about the second aspect, when we undergo persecution and affliction. The master said something. Actually, it was logical. He said these things in preaching. He said, deny yourself. Then in another place, the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, it says that, bless them that despisefully use you and persecute you. So when persecution comes, it's very easy to be offended and to be bitter. But that is not what God wants us to do. He says that we should bless them that persecute us. Let's say that, pray for them which despisefully use you and also do what? Persecute you. That should be our, that, basically speaking, walking in love. I thought when the master said himself, he says that in Matthew 10 verse 23, that is when this persecution is very, very severe. When it's very, very, what does he say? He said, but when they persecute you in this city, what does he say? He said, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the city of Israel till the Son of Man be come. See, this really applies to us in this end time. As Pastor has taught us, in the verse before this, it talks about that people are going to hate you for my name's sake. These are things to expect as we move further in this end time. But you see, we should not be afraid of persecution. God has given us a way of escape. We start first of all with, let's say, self-denial. Pray for them that persecute us. And then when it's severe, we take the way of escape. We leave that place. And in one of the examples I will give, I thought I would give an example of Stephen. Acts chapter 7, verse 6. Even though Stephen died. But look at what he did. You see, because when you are under persecution, like I said, it is very, maybe a bitter experience. And the easiest thing to do is, so to speak, to call fire down the people. They call fire, destroy them. But that is not what God wants us to do. He says that, what else? He says, Acts, please. Acts 7:60. Talking about Stephen, when he was about to die, when they stoned him. You know, last time he said, and he kneeled down and cried, what? With a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. It's a pity he died. But he forgave those people. Who are those people? Those that stoned him. And the person that gave the authority to go and stone him. Now, why did God tell us to do this? Did he obey what God told him to do here? It's because those people you see now, they are being used by the devil. Like my mom would say, they didn't know. So let me say, they were ignorant, even Paul. So what all did this do? Then he brought in Paul. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. So when the persecution broke out, after being prayed for them, what happened? He said, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was what? A great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered. They fled from that place. We need to be very wise. I said they fled from that place, scattered abroad, throughout all regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So they left that place. There's a time to leave. Acts chapter 9, verse 4. Let's see what this brought about in the life of Paul. And he fell to, when, okay, we know the story. When Saul was now going, seeing his general threatenings, going to lock them in prison, the Lord Jesus Christ met him on the way. What we call the Damascus experience. One now wants to say, anything we are going through this morning, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You are not alone in whatever you are going through. Whatever challenge you are going through, whatever difficulty you are going through, if you practice what we have been taught to deny ourselves, you know, to pray for them that persecute you, and if it's severe, to withdraw for some time from that place. See what Lord Jesus Christ said. He said, and if when he appeared to him, I want to just summarize, because I'm saying, and he fell to the earth when Jesus Christ appeared to him and spoke to him, saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You see, when we are undergoing persecution, the Lord Jesus Christ feels the same thing. He did not say, why persecutest my church? It's because we are one body with him. So everything we go through, he feels it. He's touched indeed with the feelings of life. I come to see more and more about Lord Jesus Christ. When the Bible says that not a single hair of your head shall fall to the ground, and without my Father knowing, it means it. He said, not one single dove shall fall on the ground, and God will not know. Can you count the amount of hair on your head? Talk less of one you've caught. The master knows it. So he taught everybody, like Pastor preached about it, that everything that God has created is wired to God. Like, go to the hospital and somebody connect this at this, they should check when they're doing operations or whatever. You see, it didn't go pee, 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 pee. The person starts being pee. Why? Because they connected things like that or whatever to the person's heart that begin to indicate what is going on. So everything, every human being, not only Christian, an unbeliever, God feels it. And you see, he begins to move in the circumstances and situations to bring about deliverance. That is why the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them from them all. So I want us to be encouraged by that. God is touched with our infirmities. And then you know the end of the story. Because part of the reason why Paul came into the kingdom is because Stephen forgave him. At that time, if they had called the natural church to pray, I wouldn't have prayed if I was among them. I will bring fire down. But God, Lord, destroy this man. But you see, this is there are things. The guy you see on the road that today that's being used by Satan. Show mercy. Just pray. Just obey those things. You don't know that it may be like Paul. Somebody that God is in the end time. That's what God has called us to do. Praise the Lord. So look at the example of Lord Jesus Christ again. You know, open the Bible to John chapter 7, verses 1 to 2. Just to support this point before we move on this point. Help the Holy Spirit. It says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for I will not walk in Judea. Because why? The Jews sought to kill him with his spirit without measure. He didn't bind the devil. The wisdom of God at this particular time was to leave that place and hide himself so he can fulfill his destiny. Very important, we learn that. In next verse, let's open to Message Bible just to read it. In Message Bible verses, we're going to verses 1 and 2, Message Bible. It said, later, Jesus was going about his business in Galilee. He didn't want to travel in Judea. Because why? The Jews there were looking for a chance to kill him. Next verse. I think it's important because Pastor has emphasized it. It was what? Near the time of Tabernacles, a feast observed annually by the Jews. Pastor has spoken over and over and over. He will come and tell us, guys, you need to take care of yourself, your health, and this. Don't just throw away your life. You see, the fact that we preach these things and we share them, there is a wisdom. In particular, in this end time, Satan knows his time is short, especially as the church now fulfills the reality of this which we are talking about. They did not try to kill him at Passover. They did not try to kill him at Pentecost in his own time. It was when he was about to fulfill his destiny that Satan kicked up a storm. Same thing with Paul. It was when Paul was going to fulfill his destiny in Rome that Satan kicked up a storm. We may escape. It doesn't matter what he tries to do. But the assurance we have is this. In this season, God is able to save and to deliver us. Praise the Lord. So, but the wisdom is this. Let us first of all deny ourselves. We do that before anything happens. As we wake up and we pray every morning and seek God's face. Every opportunity to you have that you are free, buy back the time. Buy back the time. Don't wait for something to happen. Then after that period of time, when the things break out, whichever way it comes, either in the home, at work, anywhere in the nation, you ask life for that. That's the first port of call. You release them. Simply put, the pastor told them, wash their feet. Then the next thing is that if it's getting out of hand, I want to leave the place. So you can leave to fulfill your destiny. And then you have the answer of Moses also. I don't have time to say. Can I put Amplify Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24? The reason why many people run away from persecution is fear of death. And you see, if you run away and you are afraid of persecution, in the sense that you have not even started the first and second stages, and you just, I can't live this kind of lifestyle, they will persecute me. It can cause Are you following me? That person from feeling the influence of what God from. Let's talk about Moses here. When you have Moses in the book of Exodus, you think he ran away in fear. No, boy, he did everything in faith. So when we flee, we are not running away in fear. It's the wisdom of God. It says, aroused by faith, let's say, aroused by faith, Moses, when he had gone to maturity and become great, what did he do? He refused, say refused, to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Next verse. Next verse, please. Because he preferred to share the oppression, the suffer the hardships, and bear the shame or reproach of the people of God, rather than to have the fleeting enjoyment of sinful life. Next verse. He considered the contempt and abuse and shame born for the Christ, the Messiah, who was to come, to be greater wealth than all the treasures of Egypt. For he looked forward and away to the reward of the recompense. Do we have to read the next verse? Let's read the next verse. They're motivated. Say motivated by faith. It wasn't fair. When Pharaoh was going to kill him, it wasn't fair. He said he was motivated by faith. That is, he must have sought God and God have given him wisdom. Prayer, or pack your things and move. Motivated by faith, he left Egypt behind him, being honored and undismayed by the wrath of a king, for he never flinched, say never flinched, but held staunchly to his purpose and endured steadfastly as one who gazed on him who is invisible. You see, we need to hold fast to purpose. The reason why I want to keep on living as a Christian is to fulfill my purpose and destiny, which is to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very important. So you must not be ashamed. There's a reproach, folks, that comes when people hear this message. When they see you, they will wonder. They will say, you've been doing this thing for so long. How come those there seem to be prospering? Because they measure this thing, their own godliness. But it's gain is godliness. But see, we talked earlier on about Paul. He said, godliness is profitable unto all things. But see, before that fullness comes, reproach comes also with it. In which you have to hold fast like Moses did. And he went, can you imagine, leaving this place to go and stay with Jethro, his father-in-law, for 40 years. But he said he held fast to his purpose. And he endured. While he was there, when his time came, he was comfortable there. The Bible said that the man Moses, he says he was content to deal. But when God spoke, he moved again. Because why? That was not his purpose. I follow him. And then he left. I said, especially. And he said, what I want to point out is, this is very important. If I move on today. He says that he endured as seeing him as invisible. Pastor has taught us, you must be seeing something. Say, I must be seeing something by revelation. You must see him that is visible. The reality of the Godhead before you. Bible talks about Master himself. He said, who endured this cross? He despised the shame. Say, for the joy that was set before him. He saw beyond the cross. He could see down ahead. You and I sitting down here. He could see down ahead. Those are yet unborn. So endure this. Praise the Lord. I think that's it for that aspect. So let's now open to, for today, verse 11. Thank you, Holy Spirit, in the KJV. These things command and teach. What are the things that Paul is saying that Timothy should command and teach? If you read from verse 1 in chapter 4, he talked about seducing spirits, said that in the end time, in the latter time, the Spirit of God speaketh expressly about seducing spirit and doctrines of devils. Talks about bodily exercise, the importance of the same which you've been taught. That you don't take your health lightly. He said it profited little. But that little, like I said the other time, you cannot negotiate it. You must do that little. However little may be. I will give the example of Elisha. He also talked about spiritual labor, which we talked about last time. That if you to live a godly life, you have to apply spiritual labor. Talk about labor of life, labor of love, labor in the world, and all the other labors we mentioned because of time. And in answer to that, he said, godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is, and also that which is to come. So he tells him, he said, command and teach these things. Don't leave any of them out, because it is very, very important. He did not tell them to, he said, command and teach them how to perform miracles. Even though that is right. But he was talking about things that we need in this end time, that the Spirit of God is speaking expressly so that we can fulfill our destiny. Are you following me? So it's a command and teaches things. He also taught them, part of these things we also teach is that, look, persecution and affliction will arise for the word's sake. So that we must teach it. To omit it
is to deceive God's people. And then to deceive them is that when these things break out, they don't, most of them will not be able to survive. And you're going to have a casualty. But that is why God doesn't want that to happen. That I can be a good minister of God. Praise the Lord. Now let us read verse 12 as we move on. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and also in purity. What is Paul trying to say? See, Paul was addressing Timothy and was telling him the things that he should do to tell the people. And not only that, the things that he himself should do. So not just a message to preach for people to hear. But say, be ye doers of word and not hearers only. So as he spoke through him in his letter to the people, what he should teach them, he said, you yourself, don't be negligent in being an example. Let's put it in NIV. He said, don't let them despise your youth. He said, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But set an example. Say, set an example for the believers in what? In speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. See, it's very, very easy to despise those that God sent to you, especially if they are younger than you. God doesn't want you to be that way. But you see, it happens all the time throughout the scriptures. When you see the person, you say, at the back of your mind, what does he know? At the back of his mind. People may be sitting there, they won't listen. So Paul said, he told Timothy, he said, look, don't let them despise your youth. But the way you do it is by being an example. Want to see examples of people in the Bible that despise those that God sends to them because they were younger. And the best example we all know is Aaron, Miriam, and Moses. Moses was the youngest amongst them. Praise the Lord. What did they say about Moses? I think it's in the book of Numbers, chapter 12. You know, when they misbehave, all the time you can preach on the board, I just talk about it. You know, when Moses did something that to them it was wrong, in mind that Ethiopian woman. So, because Moses is the Aaron was the eldest, followed by Moses, they felt they had the authority to talk to him. And they made the mistake that this thing that God, when the person that God chooses, he looks at the heart. He does not pick people because of the age. Okay, because you are the eldest, I'll give it to you. The other story that comes to mind is David. When God was going to pick somebody, he did not pick Eliab. He went straight to David. Same thing with Joseph in the Bible. So it seems to be a recurring destiny in the Bible. So you know what happened? To cut a long story short, they came to him and they spoke on advice. They spoke to him in a very rude way. But the issue is this. God did not even discuss the matter with them. He just said, what? All of you, come to the door of my tabernacle. Or like, we're having a meeting in my house. And he spoke to them. He said, you guys, you are not even afraid. That when I talk to you people, I talk to you in dreams and in visions. He said, but you are not even afraid. Moses, my servant, I speak to him face to face. And of course, we know what happened. The only reason why Aaron escaped was because Aaron was standing in his priest, the office of the high priest. I follow him. So that was the only reason he escaped. But the judgment came later because he didn't enter the promised land. These are something that they don't allow him to. But you know Miriam, his own, it was instant. Miriam too was a prophetess. But that did not give him the audacity to talk to Moses. Especially because he was younger than them. And the same thing, we see the same thing in the body of Christ today. God raised up people to bring a word in season. He would just despise them. I'll give an example because it's very important. In our hearts, wherever we find ourselves, you know, even it could be in the office, God can raise up anybody above you. Instantly you duck under. You don't ask questions. You begin your yes sir, yes ma'am, in your heart, not just with your mouth. Look at the example of Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 6. The Pharisees. Because you see, by the time Jesus Christ came, he was 30. He started the ministry at the age of 30. The scribes and the Pharisees had been in the synagogue for years. Nothing had happened. And he started preaching. And he said something. What is it? Verse 3. Put 3 for time as I keep talking. When they saw him, they looked at him. Said, is not this the carpenter? The son of Mary? The brother of James? And Joseph? and Judah and Simon and not the sisters there with us, and they were what? Offended. I went for his naming ceremony. When they said they should contribute money to name, I dropped. I know I'm trying to make it. They looked at him and said, what does he know? The scribes and Pharisees, at that time, they were far older, probably in their 50s. Because you could be in that office for quite some time. The example of that is Zechariah, but was stricken in age. So they despised him. That what nonsense is he coming to tell us? So we need to be careful of the aspect of God. Now, it does not mean, it's not a law that God will always raise up somebody that is younger. It's a question of the heart. But it's about saying, if you don't have the heart of a little child, you can, you know, wise enter into the kingdom of God. For the person that God is raising up and for those that has raised them over, it's very, very important. It's the heart God looks at. We need to have that. And then once you see something happen, just duck on down. Recognize the grace. Recognize that God wants to. It's like if you go to a restaurant and they want to serve something for you. The person that is going to serve you may be younger than you. You don't have to be older. Talking spiritually now, bring it that way. The important thing is to receive what God has for you, receive it, and move on. All the other things are ego and pride that we've been here for so long. And when you do that, you are pointing and accusing God that, God, why did you choose him and you didn't choose me? Say that your judgment is wrong. So it goes beyond the person. When you honor someone that God raised up, you are honoring God and you're honoring his word. Praise the Lord. It's very important. That's why you see Pilate said something. He said that when they brought him forth, he said, I find no fault in him. Somewhere he says they delivered him because of envy. Envy is a terrible thing in the body of Christ. People become envious of things that should not be. It runs through the scriptures, starting from Abel, Cain and Abel, up the Lord Jesus Christ. Envy, they can't just receive it. Praise the Lord. So as we continue, like I said earlier on, say don't let them despise your youth. To despise means to look down on, regard with contempt and scorn. I've already explained it when I was talking about Lord Jesus Christ, that what does he know? I know that I taught him in foundation of eight classes. What does he know? What does he know? We did water baptism for him. What does he know? The same thing happened to Paul. You know, Paul said, I labor more than they. He said, yes, not I. But the grace of God over me. He said, God does not, you see, I don't know. You see, we need understanding about God. Understand that God looks at the heart. So work on your heart rather than come against the person that God has raised up. So if you work on your heart, you will get the same thing, and everybody has his own destiny. So your destiny, I've been taught, in terms of whatever God has called you to do, cannot affect my own. And if he's somebody functioning where God has put him, pray for him and support him. So when you two, you begin to function wherever God has put you, that will pray for you. And you two, you, the whole essence of these things for the body of Christ to be edified. That we all may come, like we say, the perfecting of things for the work of the ministry, for the edifying. That's the whole thing. So you find yourself functioning at different points in time. Praise the Lord. So what he said, now says something, he said that, be an example. He now said, look, listen. It is true, Timothy, you are young. But if you don't want them to despise your youth, be an example. Let's be an example. Be an example. Thank you for saying, let no one despise or think less of you because what? Of your youth. But be what? An example. Say a pattern for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. I just mentioned this as I move on. Pastor Kunle preached a very powerful message about last year about the populace that God sets before us. He said, be a pattern to follow. Be a pattern to follow. As they look at your life, they look at your... You see, he did not say be an example in doing signs and wonders. It is not wrong. The same Bible says, Jesus Christ was approved. A man approved with miracles and signs and wonders. But the starting point is, your approval must come from character. When people look at you and they see your life, the way you conduct yourself, say, yes, this person can be a person. So he told him, Timothy, my son, make sure that you are an example. Or they will despise your youth. When they begin to see shady things in your life, when you start talking, they will say, don't mind him. Maybe he has a girlfriend there. He went and 2 steps I'm talking about to say, they begin to despise that, to be an example. And by the grace of God, to mention again, like you said, and I'm reiterating the same thing, we have the best examples we have that God has given to us as spiritual parents. We see them coming, we see them go out. We see them coming, we see them go out all the time. What they tell us to do, we see them do them. We see them, we say it's time to pray, they come and pray. Pastor will come and say, do you think I don't read my Bible? He will preach and say, in what I read this morning, I will say, Lord have mercy. I'm still thinking of reading my Bible when I get home today. Are you following me? All the time you see mommy come and preach, mommy just come, just take a scripture and expound it. So say, be an example. So you can see the example that God has laid before us to follow. Now, let's look at this thing closely. I read some of Gloria Copran recently, I think it was last week, talking about the same scripture, and I'll just read it. She said that, live above reproach. Let's take it. Live above reproach. Romans 12, 17, Amplified. Happy Holy Spirit. Romans 12, 17, in Amplified. It says, repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is honest and proper and noble. Now let's say, aiming to be above reproach in the sight of everyone. See, that this, when people look at your life, try to live above reproach, that they look for something they cannot find. Daniel is an example. There is nothing we can find against this man except his prayer. It's always praying. Sha, sha, sha. That will be a portion in Jesus' name. So she put it in that thing that I read. She said that we should also flee from every appearance of evil. It's very important in this day. It says flee from every appearance of evil. And she said something that I wrote it down. I believe will bless us. Says, when you go after God, don't walk out on the edge trying to see how much you can get by with. If you put it in a normal language, say one leg in, one leg out. You are in church today, you are singing in the choir. The next day, you are outside there singing what you weren't supposed to do. Please, I'm not getting a choir scare. Just give that an example, please. So, I'm not trying to be prophetic. You see, whichever way you find yourself, or let's say you are in church today, you are quiet, you are behaving yourself. When you step out there, the way you run your business, the way you do your activities, is contrary to scripture. That's what one leg in, one leg out. Seeing how long you can live on the edge. Be this perfection thing. If it doesn't work, let me just begin to practice this. Why? Back to what you said in the beginning. Because you are afraid of persecution and affliction. A lecturer comes and says, I will fail you if you don't go out with me, so we speak. And then you compromise out of fear. Why should you be afraid? Stand for truth. It doesn't matter if it will cost you. Who told you it will not cost you? Did it cost the master? He let all his glory come and die for us. But you see, you cannot do it. You can't do it if you don't deny yourself. Remember that always. Your flesh will cave in under pressure. Whichever situation we find ourselves, be an example to self-denial. That's where the power comes from. Under covering, it will supplement that power. So if you let you have been told to, you find out that his yoke is his body and his light. Praise the Lord. So he now begins to talk about how. So I'll read. He says, in word. Say in word. Amplified says, speech, like we mentioned. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 is amplified. In word, there is not just preaching the word. But say in speech. What does it say? Let your speech at what? Sometimes. All times what? Gracious. Pleasant and winsome. Seasoned as it were with salt. So that you may never be at a loss to know how to you ought to answer anyone who puts a question to you. That is, when you begin to talk, the backlog of my Lord Jesus Christ, he said when he spoke, he said his words were gracious. Never man spoke like this. It's what edifies people. Even when he's correcting people could feel the love, except the hypocrites. I remember the message a pastor preached some time ago about love, rebuke, and chastening. When you hear the title, you think, the rebuke is going to be very, very, But look at the way the message came out. It draws you back unto God to be able to receive rebuke when it comes. Are you following me? So it says, in speech, our speech in things we say must be gracious. No idle words. No coarse jesting. Things that are not convenient. People that are watching. The things you say. Some of us use cuss words. I don't want to mention it. The F word, like you say. Without prejudice, they say, They just, then you pow, just come out of your mouth. They only, nobody look at me. I thought it was a Christian. Say, wait, do you mean that God does not mind if you use this kind of word? Let's leave that and move on. In conversation. Conversation, that means conduct. Say conduct. Godly conduct. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 in Amplified. As we continue, help me Holy Spirit. Let your what? Character. Let your what? Character or moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions. That's what I want to get there. People should look at your life to summarize and see moderation. They will know that you have so much. And yes, you're just being quiet. You should see that humility in your conduct. You don't come to a place and know the man of God has arrived. Are you following me? They should see it in your moderation, in the things you do. Now, moderation is relative. But what we are saying is this, is that they will know that this guy has access to this. But see how the person is just going. Always bow down in humility. Are you following me? So, people will look at our conduct every day. What is now telling Timothy is that, Timothy, don't just preach the word. Leave it out by example. Because when you do that, people learn a lot faster from example than the preaching. It's very important. That is the lesson we're trying to emphasize this morning. Of which I myself am beginning to recognize more and more. That's not about preaching. It's about living a lifestyle. Why should you be a hypocrite? Live out a lifestyle. Let people know. Then after people start knowing. You will not get there overnight. But let's accept that this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about character. Praise the Lord. In love. Say in love. That, what does that mean? It means walking in love towards the brethren. It's very important. You want the respect of persons. What you do for A, you do for B. Both for the rich man, for the poor man. Say love. Let no one despise. Say in love. He's talking about our conduct, our walk in love. Brethren, towards the brethren. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Amplified. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let love for your fellow believers. He didn't say a particular, every believer. Even if it does not belong to your church. Fellow believers, continue and be fixed. And practice with, fellow believers, continue and be a fixed practice with you. Never let it fail. Don't be like this yesterday. You're walking in love because of what you can get. And then tomorrow, you can't get anything. Then you change. When I was praying this morning, God gave me an example. I said, Lord, give me an example. Obviously, we don't have mentioned Pastor and Mommy. I can't count all the things they've done in my life, in your life. To say, not to say it, is to deny the truth. Well, I'm not saying it because I need to say it. But I need to say it because it's a fact and a truth. And then God reminds me, take this example and use. Years ago, I just got born again, I started working epignosis. And there was a situation, one of the helpers had a little bit of injury in the house. And they took the person to the hospital. I didn't know. So when I heard, I went to the hospital to visit the person the next day. I wasn't as close to Pastor and Mommy then like I am now. In terms of service, like afar off. But what struck me, that endeared my heart to this message, that if this is what this thing will make one do, then I want it. Pastor went to that hospital. He stayed overnight in the hall. Praying. That nothing must happen to that lady. I'm not joking. You see, I went to the hospital the next day. I didn't know. But the testimony was what the nurses were saying. I got to the hall. I said, where is Lady so-and-so? She said, she's over there. She could not leave the place. They had to put her on a bed for weeks. So I just sat there. I said, are you from so-and-so? The outside, they said, are you from Olubi Johnson? I said, yes, sir. So, thank God for your pastor. Rich man of God. So you know what they're saying? You think that maybe he raised the dead? He said he has been here. He was here all night because of a helper. They were saying it throughout all that day. He said he was here. He said the man did not leave. He said he sat down. The father place where he sat. It was a big hall. It was the ward. And he prayed and prayed and prayed, reading his Bible all night because of a helper. He was becoming a pastor. It's not because he's pastor. They were saying it all over the place. Please sit down. We thank God for our parents. Now, you know what happened? After that, I said, wow. Man of God. They were saying man of God. They said they've never seen the kind of name before. You know what happened? So as I left, I was about to leave. I was walking out of the ward. I said, ah, God. Hey, this is what man of God. I just saw in my heart. He really touched my heart. You know what happened? I saw him coming again. He went home to go and change whatever. In the evening, he came in again. I know I asked pastor, he smiled. You know pastor's lovely smile with the AG? Just smile. I just carried his bag. I used to carry a pouch. So we walked there together. He went to the place, prayed for the person. You see how they were running around? Everybody like they're whispering. He's here again. He's here again. Like it will happen in this of Lord Jesus Christ. When you go to a place, the noise will go around. And we get to gather the sick and everybody. Example. That's what God wants to do. Not just to people that are high there, that are low there. It happens all the time. I don't have time to talk about it. Mommy does the same thing. She'll be thinking, you'll say, what do you think you should do? These people don't even go and get this one for them. Or at times we are going somewhere. I know she's tired. I said, do you know where this person lives? Let's go. We have to go. No. We have to go. And I'm wondering. Pastor Andrew, it's true. Say, move. If you say you are looking for a way to escape, and say, mommy, what the block on here? Say, hey, baby, I'm from here. And then, you know the funny thing? As we are going, she's tired. You see her go like this. Now look in the mirror. I want to, mommy, the car is. Then we get to the place, maybe it's house of maybe a regular church member. And then when they see her, they will be shocked. Later on, they will be telling us, me, believe only was her. Hey! Like it's like a. Because it's not common in the body of Christ. It's not common. And it is the character of Christ. Now I honor that man, the centurion. He said, he left. He said, Master. He said, his servant is sick. And he went and sought for the master. He said, I have not servant, not wife. And he said, look. He said, I have never seen such faith. He said, go back. It's okay. It's a David's heart. That will not say they have taken one sheep, then what are you have 99? Counting nickels or dimes. He went after at this cup's own life. So I went after the bear. I told him, I went after, he could have died. We thank God for what we have in the house. I think that settles the point. Love for the brethren. In faith, talks about exercise of faith to please God. You must be a man of faith. Not of unbelief. That anything that happens to you, the first thing you do, you look for worldly means to settle it. The first thing that should happen when you're facing a situation in the midst of unbelievers, let us pray. That shows where your faith is. If you're not start conditioning other things, I can't rush to the hospital. It is true, rush, but the first, let us pray. Pray first. So those that are watching you, they will not, even though you are praying, you are going to the hospital, it is not because you don't have, you trust God. Then God will now use all those physical things to bring about a miracle. He also said impurity. I just summarize, no form of sexual immorality. Let's read verse 13. Help me, Lord. I want to finish this thing today. Verse 13, Amplified. Say, till I come, devote yourself to public and private reading, to exhortation, preaching, and personal appeals, and to teaching and instilling doctrine. I'll just summarize because I want to try and round up today. Say reading, say study of the word, exhortation, encouragement. Hebrews 10:25. I'll just read it. See, Paul was telling people, say, don't be distracted. You know, I talked about religious fables and all that. Don't be distracted, though. With all this nonsense that they are doing, body of Christ, says that not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but what exhorting one another, and so much the more as they are approaching. These things are very critical in the day we are living in. Say in doctrine. In doctrine, there talks about the doctrine of godliness. We have spoken about different kinds of devils of doctrine before. So say, concentrate on the doctrine of being godly, which is going to help every individual under you to fulfill their destiny. Praise the Lord. Verse 14 says, do not neglect the gift which is in you, that special inward endowment which was directly imparted to you by the Holy Spirit by prophetic utterance when the word elders laid hands upon you at your ordination. There was a time that they called Timothy out, and Paul, before everybody, laid hands on him and he imparted something to him. What are we saying? You see, nobody falls from heaven. There's always a transference of anointing. And he says, don't neglect it. We say, you can't neglect it. So I'll give you the example of Moses and Joshua. Deuteronomy chapter 4, 34, verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9. You see, this is the importance of covering, oversight, or whoever God has set above you. There's something that you cannot get on your own to do whatever God has called you to do. So see, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Four. Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded. The important is this: four. That is, Joshua did not get it because he was sitting beside the mountain. He did not get it because of his gra-gra. Even though those things are important, those are the foundational qualities that you need. But you see, that thing must be transferred to you. If it is not transferred to you, you're not going to get it. The master lays hands on the 70, he lays hands on the 12 before they could do anything. Praise the Lord, because of time. Same thing, just no mention there. Paul and Barnabas, when God called them in Antioch, after God called them in Antioch, they separated them and they laid hands on them and they sent them forth. So how do we make sure that we don't neglect the gift? We know how the gift comes. It comes by impartation from the elders of a church. Because the vision is one. Once the vision is one, the vision for this house is the perfection of the saints. So the grace to do follow that vision is on the set fathers that God has put on them. Are you following me? So if you get an anointing from somebody else that is different from them, it's that another spirit. I want to try and round up. Let me move on. But it's very important to understand that we've been well taught. So how do you make sure that you don't neglect? One, you keep the right attitude to those that lay their hands on you. The master said something. He said that, he said they saw me cast down devils. He said, nobody can do any miracle if he speaks lightly of me. That means that guy's heart was right. So you must make sure you keep your heart with all diligence. That's point number one. The second is by praying in the spirit. Third thing is by meditating the word, and then you now go out to practice. That's how you make sure you don't neglect the gift that's been given to you. Whichever gift, doesn't have to be preaching. It could be any arm of the body that you are serving. God told Moses, he said, anoint every vessel in the tabernacle. Everyone is anointed with the same anointing on the set fathers. It doesn't matter what they are preaching. It doesn't matter what they are behind somewhere there, gardening, doing gardening for church. You are anointed. And God is going to reward you not because you preach, but because you use that anointing to do what He has told you to do. Very important. As we begin to round up, help me, Holy Spirit. Verse 15. I need to round up and stop. Help me, Holy Spirit. It says, meditate. Say, meditate upon these things. Give yourself holy. Say, holy. Not partially to them. That thy profiting may appear to. That means if you don't give yourself holy to it, the profiting will not appear. See, we have the mistake we've all made. One leg in, one leg out. Say, give yourself holy. That by Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do. You know, and in then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. That means if it departs or it's coming and coming and coming and coming, which is based on your diligence, the profiting will not appear. But we appear in our lives in Jesus' name, because we give ourselves holy unto Jesus. Verse 16. As we stop, let's read. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Two things. Take heed unto yourself. That talks about your heart. And to the doctrine, doctrine according to godliness. Continue in them. Say, continue in them. You don't start and stop. In them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I thought they were born again. So what salvation is talking about? Spirit, soul, and body. That is, you start by taking to yourself, checking your heart, honesty and humility of heart. Then as you do that, you also take heed to the doctrine. That doctrine is precious. John said something in the book of 3 John. He said, if any man comes to you and does not bring the doctrine of Christ, perfection and fullness, he said, don't bid him Godspeed. Because that is the only way, becoming like him is the only way you can fulfill what God wants you to do. So you must guard your heart and then guard that doctrine. Are you following me? So in doing that, it says that you will save yourself. Say, save yourself. And we all want to save ourselves today, not in your own self, but you can enter into the fullness of Christ, your destiny, and then save them that hate you. You can say, maybe I'm not a pastor. Your children, that you lay a good example before every day, when they see that conduct every day, they too are encouraged to say, oh, this thing, this godliness, I can see the prophet appearing in them. That's where you begin to follow. In summary, I wrote it down to summarize. I said that it is in taking heed to ourselves by keeping and maintaining an attitude of honesty and humility which attracts the mercy and the grace of God, and also taking heed to the doctrine according to godliness, using the blood, the word, and the spirit, and continuing in them, that we can save or experience this total salvation and provide covering that will help or supplement others in their attaining unto the same. John chapter 8 verse 31 and 32, and then we'll pray. The master himself said it. We need to continue. You don't start and stop. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe, listen to me, in the message of perfection. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Next verse. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Make you free. Totally free of a sin nature in your soul and in your body. That is our destiny. That is our purpose. Let's bow down to prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We are grateful. Thank you, Lord. We are grateful. We take nothing for granted. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for covering. We're grateful. We're talking to you, Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's ask God to forgive us. It's a ministry of reconciliation, not to condemn or to accuse anybody. It's to encourage us to godliness, giving ourselves wholly unto this thing. And our prophecy may appear. God wants them to see, not to begin to despise us. I mean, that season like we've been taught. It's a year of God's divine favor and vengeance upon them that trouble us. So let's continue. I will have no other gods besides you. Let's stand to our feet as we sing that song and pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
I will have no other gods but you alone. I will bow to no other god but you. I lay and the throne I have made, and I give you your praise, oh Lord.
I
give myself as an offering to you.
Respond, Lord, as we've been taught. Let's put one hand to our hearts, speaking of sincerity and honesty. Let us raise the other one in surrender unto God. First, say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we're clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life in abundant measure. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me and exhorting me to be an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and also in purity. I come to ask for fresh mercy. I come to ask for fresh grace to help me to meditate upon these things and to give myself wholly unto them. that my profiting may appear unto all. I also pray for grace and mercy to take heed unto myself and also to the doctrine according to godliness, to continue in them as I abide under covering, so that in doing so I will both save myself and them that hear me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for your mercies. Lord, just thank you for grace. Holy Spirit, we are grateful. Thank you for your love. Thank you for covering. In Jesus' name.